I'd like to begin speaking tonight, reading tonight at verse 11 and do a lot of reading, probably 3.5 minutes or so, 3 minutes of reading, and get this setting down in our hearts. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. I'd like to read about John the Baptist. The story of John the Baptist inspires me. I am overwhelmed with emotion whenever I read about and think about that wonderful Bible character, John the Baptist. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, the healing of the widow of Nain's son. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. In other words, John the Baptist's disciples went to the prison and showed John the Baptist and told John the Baptist about this miracle of the healing or the raising from the dead of this widow's son. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" When the men were come unto him, they said, "John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities, and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then, after he did all that, then Jesus answering said unto them, "Now, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached." And I can see those disciples of John the Baptist turning around and starting to walk away. And I can just see Jesus saying, "Wait a minute, hope. And tell John, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. "What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, and calling one to another, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. The story of John the Baptist begins back in Luke, the first chapter, with an elderly couple named Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias was definitely of the tribe of Levi. Elizabeth was a daughter of Aaron. These two people were getting old. In fact, the Bible says they both were well stricken in years. And they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And it was not like it is today, a reproach in those days for a woman not to have a family, not to have a child. Children were and are an heritage of the Lord. Amen. And so this elderly couple, of course, had prayed that that reproach would be taken away and that they would one day have a child. But now they were well stricken in years and Elizabeth was barren. And so it seemed that there was no hope. And so a certain time of the year came, and it was Zechariah's time to leave his town and travel to Jerusalem and serve as a priest in the temple of God. And it was his lot to burn incense. And he was in the temple, and I would imagine he was there in the holy place, not the holiest of holies, but the first compartment. He was in the holy place burning incense. And the quietness and the religious spirit that must have been there, being such a blessing to him in his loneliness and despair through the years of not having a child. When all of a sudden, an angel appeared standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And the Bible says John was afraid. And the angel said, fear not. You've always wanted a child. Your wife's going to get pregnant. She's going to have a son. And his name shall be called John. No matter what the rest of the family says, Gabriel gave him his name. His name shall be called John. I want to make a long story short tonight. You know the story of how Zacharias failed to believe it immediately, and the angel said, thou shalt be dumb until, and not be able to speak until this child is born. And then, of course, his tongue was loosed and his name was called John. Then this young boy began to grow up, and we read little, very little about John the Baptist's childhood. Very little about his boyhood. But think about your childhood for a moment. Many of us have unpleasant memories, but most of us have many nostalgic reminiscences as we go back over our childhood. You probably remember walking down the railroad track with your friends, picking up stones, maybe going to the river and wading or swimming a little, skipping stones across the river or the lake. Maybe you remember certain trees and certain roads and certain people, certain things about your life and your childhood. And I'm sure that John, being a human being, had experiences in his boyhood and childhood also. Maybe somebody came to him one day and said, John, let's go to the river and skip some stones. I got a big sack full of nice flat stones here, nice smooth flat stones. Let's go to the river, John, and we'll skip some stones across the river today. See who can get the most skips out of a stone. Have you ever done that? Sure, most of us boys have. John was a boy. But I wonder if John didn't say, man, I really appreciate your welcome, fellas, but, you know, I got this tugging in my heart. I got to go back to the wilderness. I got to go back there. God talks to me out there. I've just got to go to the wilderness. Maybe one day, Zacharias came into the house and said, Elizabeth, where's John today? Oh, honey, he's out in the wilderness again. What did he say when he's coming home? No, he didn't say. He just said, Don't worry, Mom, everything's okay. Did he take food with him? Well, he said he's getting along just fine out there. Locusts, wild honey. How about clothes? He's all right. He knows how to dress, camel's hair and a leathern girdle. He said, don't worry about me. Honey, God's hand was on that boy. I'll tell you, honey, that story you told me about the angel appearing to you and that visit that I had with Mary, I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost touched me. And there's something about that boy, and all these things are bound to come true that have been said about him. All we know about John is that the Bible says that he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing unto Israel. Then that year came when John turned age 30. And when I think of John being age 30, I think of a history of 30 years of hearing from God in the wilderness. No television set, no radio, no newspapers, no Life or Look magazine. Just John in the wilderness. Maybe with the wild beasts and animals, but he heard the voice of God in the wilderness. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let me just read a verse or two to explain what I'm saying. The Bible says, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And then in St. John chapter 1, listen to this. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I spake, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. Listen to this. But he that sent me to baptize with water. Somebody asked me one time, where did John the Baptist get his authority? Where did he get the understanding that he was supposed to go and baptize people? Here's the answer. And I knew him not, but he, John the Baptist, said, He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So you can be sure, for 30 years in the wilderness, from time to time, John heard the word of God as it came to him in the wilderness. And I'd like for us to remember something tonight. When they said, What went ye out in the wilderness for to see a prophet? Jesus' answer was, Yea, I say unto you, you went out to see a prophet, and you saw a prophet. And you not only saw a prophet, but you saw much more than a prophet. John came out of the wilderness, or he stayed in the wilderness, and preached, Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's what he preached. Repent and be baptized by immersion under the water for the remission of sins. That's what the Bible says. Oh, the unfolding revelation of God. We're getting closer and closer and closer until the day of Pentecost came. And Peter stood up and preached this fullness of the gospel. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Complete message now. Hallelujah. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. John the Baptist was a prophet. The church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So John preached, and when he began to preach, the Bible says that there came out to hear him all Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Can you imagine that? He emptied Jerusalem. He emptied the countryside of Judea. He emptied the regions around the river Jordan, and they came unto him to hear this man preach. Amen. And nobody pulled the wool over his eyes. Nobody fooled him. He was deceived by none. He saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming, and he said, "Oh, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." He demanded that there was repentance before baptism. I can see those people standing in the river Jordan, and John says, "Tell the folks how awful you've been." They stood there, the Bible says, and confessed their sins, and then he baptized them for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then others came to him and said, "What shall we do?" And he said, "He that hath two coats, let him give one of those coats to somebody that doesn't have one. He that has meat, let him share that meat with somebody who doesn't have any meat." The publicans came to him and said, "What shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." In other words, take only that which is your due. The soldiers came to him and said, "And what shall we do?" He said, "Do violence to no man, and don't accuse anybody falsely, and be content with your wages." He had the answers for them. But his message was not what many people expected to hear. And his message was not what many people, or at least some people, wanted to hear. He did not have a message about a triumphant king that's coming. He is the Christ, the Messiah. And he's going to come riding in one of these days on a beautiful white stallion with curried hair and flowing mane and diamond-studded saddle, and he's going to ride triumphantly into Jerusalem. No, he didn't have that kind of a message. That message that your king is coming was fulfilled, as recorded in Zechariah 9:9. "Behold, your king cometh unto you, lowly, humble, meek, riding on an ass, the foal of an ass." Hallelujah. Amen. That's our king. Yes. Praise the Lord. But he's coming back again. Yes. Amen. And he'll be riding his white horse one day. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, John the Baptist did not preach what they wanted to hear. A triumphant king is coming, and he is going to deliver his people from the bondage of Rome. He's going to set us Jews free. He didn't have that message. He came preaching, "One is coming after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose." And I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And his fan is in his hand, and he's going to thoroughly purge his floor, and he's going to gather his grain into his barn. Hallelujah. And he's going to put the chaff, burn it up with unquenchable fire. Oh, what a message. What a message. The Holy Ghost baptizer is coming. What a man this John the Baptist was. He overcame the temptation of becoming proud. He could have looked at those crowds and said, "What a preacher I am. Look at my crowds. Look at the hundreds, the thousands of people that have come out here, way from Jerusalem and all Judea and the region round about Jordan, to hear me preach." And you know, there was talk that some said he was Messiah. Some said he was that prophet. Others said he's one of the prophets. He could have thought, "Boy, they think I'm Messiah. Well, by the way, I am a direct fulfillment of Scripture." He was a direct fulfillment of Scripture in Isaiah 40 and also in Malachi. Can you imagine that? A direct fulfillment of Scripture. "Hey, I had a supernatural birth. My mother was barren. My folks were past age, well stricken in years. I was supernaturally born." Not virgin born, but supernaturally born. "And out in the wilderness, I heard from God personally." Oh, Oh, John the Baptist, John the Baptist, what a man. He did not become proud. Amen. Listen to this. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from to Jerusalem and asked him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" "No." "Well, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. My name is unimportant. My mission is all important. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." Praise the Lord. What a man. What humility that John the Baptist had. Amen. In John chapter 3, listen to this. They came to John and they said, "That other man over there, the Messiah, the Christ, he's having people baptized, and people are leaving you. Your crowds are diminishing. They're leaving you and they're starting to follow him." John said, "Well, remember what I told you? I'm not the Christ. I never said I was the Christ. I'm sent before him. My mission must be about accomplished. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase." A good verse for every one of us to memorize. St. John chapter 3, verse 30. "He must increase, but I must decrease." One man said, "My desire is that I might become like the church steeple. The higher it goes, the smaller it becomes." Amen. Amen. Oh, I love humility. Listen to, I have a little thing here I had in my file on John Newton, writer of the song Amazing Grace. He was sent a diploma from a university in New Jersey that conferred an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree upon him. He wrote back that he was grateful for the gift, but he asked to decline the honor as one he never intended to accept. "I am," he said, "as one born out of due time. I don't wish to have honors of this kind. No matter how much the university overrates my accomplishments, and no matter how it wishes to show its respects, I must not forget who I am. It would be conceited and improper for me to accept it." God bless his memory. Praise the Lord. Amen. And think of Jesus' testimony of John. We already read it. "What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with a wind? A man clothed in soft apparel? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet." How was it that John the Baptist was greater than a prophet? I can think of at least three reasons why Jesus said he was greater than a prophet. Number one, because he himself was the very subject of prophecy. And number two, he was the one and only forerunner of the Messiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But the big thing to me is that all the other Old Testament prophets foresaw the coming of the Messiah. But John the Baptist not only prophesied of his coming, but saw his coming. And so Jesus said, "Oh yes, he's a prophet, but he's much more than a prophet, because many desired to see these things which you have seen and have not seen them. Blessed are your eyes." And John the Baptist was one of those that got to see the Lord Jesus, the subject of his very prophecy. Amen. Well, the life of John the Baptist continues. All of a sudden we find that John the Baptist is in prison. Why was John the Baptist in prison? The Bible says, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison." Now, there's one thing that we have to know about Herod. The Bible says that Herod feared John the Baptist. And Herod knew that John the Baptist was a just man. Herod knew that John the Baptist was a holy man. And the Bible says that Herod observed John the Baptist, and Herod heard John the Baptist. He gave an ear to John the Baptist, and Herod even obeyed John the Baptist in many things. The Bible says Herod did many things and heard John the Baptist gladly. But John the Baptist, being an uncompromising, fearless preacher of the Word of God, that God gave him to preach. Said to Herod one day, it is not lawful for you to live with Herodias, because she is your brother Philip's wife, and you should not be married to her. Oh, Herodias found out about it, and immediately she began to plot and to plan and to scheme the murder, the death of John the Baptist. I want that man's blood. I want that man dead. She hated him, and she waited her time like a cat walking back and forth, or sitting by a mouse's hole, waiting for that mouse to come out and pounce on it and take its prey. She waited. This woman waited for her turn. And then one day, it was King Herod's birthday, and he invited all of his lords and his high estates to his big birthday party, and they had a great time. And then at the end of the party, or near the end of the party, he called in Herodias' daughter to dance for him, and she danced, got his attention, and everybody applauded the dancing. Everybody was overwhelmed with this dancer. Herod called her in and said, look, honey, tell me what you want. I'll give you anything you want, up to the half of my kingdom. And she thought, I don't know. Hey, Ma, Mama, the king has told me that I can have anything I want for dancing, up to half of the kingdom. What should I ask him? And the Bible says that woman immediately snapped out these words. Go tell him right now. I can see her shoving her daughter back into Herod's presence. Go tell him that you want the head of John the Baptist severed from his body and brought to you in a platter right now. And she went in. Salome went in to King Herod. Hey, what do you want? What do you want for dancing so beautifully before us here today? I told you I'd give it. You know I'm going to keep my word. I want the head of John the Baptist in the platter right now. And the Bible says King Herod was sorry. He was crushed inside because he liked John the Baptist. He had respect for him. But it was too late. He would not be embarrassed before all these lords and chief captains and high estates for whom he invited to his birthday party. And so he had to keep his word. And immediately he sent the executioner. And the executioner came back with the bloody head of John the Baptist in a charger, a platter, and gave it to Salome, and she gave it to her mother. And that's the story of John the Baptist. John was in prison, shut off from the outside world before his death. And then news trickled in. His disciples, being faithful followers of his, came to him with the news of Jesus. And I've already said it, he sent them to Jesus to verify or confirm what he already believed down deep in his heart, that Christ Jesus, his cousin, was the Messiah. Art thou he that should come, or look before another? Go tell John. Go tell John everything that you saw. Go tell him what you heard. And tell him, blessed is he that shall not be offended in me. I don't know what all those words mean tonight, but I do know what they mean to me. They mean that Jesus was saying to John the Baptist, your head is going to be required from you, John. You're going to have to give your life at the young age of 30. But oh, John, don't be offended in me. Don't be offended in me, because one day I'm going to raise you from the dead. I'm going to call you to my side. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. I've seen articles. In fact, I have one laying on my desk right now. I showed it to my wife. Excuse me. The name of it is How to Achieve a More Positive Self-Image. And one of the main points under the heading, How to Achieve a More Positive Self-Image, is you must believe in yourself. You must have self-trust. But I can see Jesus as he sent John's disciples back to John to tell him, yes, I am he that should come. You don't need to look any further, John. I am he. I can see him saying in those words, trust me, John. Trust me, John. Be thou faithful unto death, John, and I will give thee the crown of life. Life. Resurrection. Life. While John was in prison, surely Jesus' words sustained him through those dark hours. And those words, Luke 7:23, have sustained me in my dark hours. Anybody here ever had a dark hour? Anybody here ever had a trial? Anybody here ever carry a heavy burden? I have. And those words come to me. Blessed is he that shall not be offended in me. What is your lot in life, friend? What is your lot in this life? Have you been called by God to be alone, away from the crowd, more than other people? Have you felt that tugging to the wilderness? Have you felt that tugging to the prayer room? Have you felt that drawing to the Holy Scripture, where you separate yourself from the fun and the party and the good times and the food and the fellowship? Thanks for the invitation. Thanks for making me feel so welcome. Thanks for inviting me to your house. But I'm going to have to decline this time. Something's drawing me back to the wilderness. Something's drawing me to the prayer room. Something's drawing me to the altar. And I might just interject at this point. There are times when we have had altar calls in this church when somebody has been spoken to by God to come and pray. And they have knelt here and they have prayed. And I have seen somebody else who is their close friend come from behind and tap them on the shoulder and say, we're all meeting at Perkins. Oh, I would suggest with all kindness tonight that you try the spirits, that you look and see. And if you see your friend weeping before the Lord, just go to your other friends and say, I left a note with the usher, or I left a note with somebody else. And when this person is done praying, if there's still time, they can come and join us. But aren't you proud of our friend praying at the altar? You may not all have the burden to pray for hours or an hour or all night at the same time. But when that burden to pray comes on you, go to your wilderness. Go to that place and hear from God, for he has much to say to our hearts. And he longs for us to be alone with him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're called upon to suffer, and everybody else is so healthy, let the words come back to you. And blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Amen. If you're called upon to suffer persecution because of your particular circumstances in life, maybe you're the only child in a family that's saved. Maybe you're the only member of a family that's saved. And it just seems like it's your lot in life to be persecuted by others. Just remember, though everybody else has a home and a family, and they're enjoying Christian fellowship in their home, blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Everybody was not decapitated with John the Baptist. Everybody didn't go to prison like John the Baptist did, but Jesus had some comforting, sustaining words for him. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't be offended because there's another day coming. There's another day coming. There's another banquet coming. Herod had his. John, you lost your life at that one. But John, I'm having a banquet prepared. You're invited, John. You're going to be there. You're going to be there. In fact, John, I'm going to call all my faithful overcomers from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And John, they're going to sit down with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob and with you, because you are a prophet of God. And with all the prophets in the kingdom of God. Oh, there's a day coming, saints of God, that I wouldn't allow myself to miss over being offended in this life. So I have a physical problem in my body. Just can't seem to find a healing. Get healed of everything else but one thing. Paul the apostle had a thorn in the flesh. No, no, no. But my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Paul's going to be there. He's going to be there at the banquet table. He lost his life too. Nero was responsible for that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, Jesus has some things prepared for his people. He said, don't sorrow. Let's let your heart be troubled. I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. We heard that tonight. Tongues and interpretation. I got blessed. My spirit leaped within me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They're going to come from the east and the west, and they're going to be rewarded. Because when they were looking, when the disciples, James and John, were looking to sit at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus, remember what he said? He said, that's not mine to give. But here's one part of the answer Jesus gave that we sometimes overlook. He said, but it shall be given. Awards, rewards are going to be passed out. It shall be given. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You read about the Reader's Digest sweepstake, and it says, every prize shall be awarded. Every saint of God shall be awarded in that day. Listen, you didn't come to him and humble yourself at an altar, declaring yourself a sinner worthy of death and receiving the salvation of God, and then go out and allow yourself to be laughed at, scoffed, mocked, persecuted, and suffer for his name's sake, and not have a reward. Oh, it shall be given. It shall be given to them who are worthy to receive it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My dad died, I think, prematurely at age 60 in 1961. He would have been about 88 now. I think of my dad. But I've never accused God. I've never said, why, God? I've only heard the words, blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Mother joined Dad at age 84 and a half, a ripe old age. We thank God for all those years. Tonight I think of the mother of Jeff Thompson, who is here tonight. Jeff Thompson's mother and I went to school together. We sat side by side in math class in high school. We graduated. She got married. I got married. She backslid. And there was some beer drinking going on and a little boasting of how much beer she could drink. And she joined with some unbelievers among the relatives and had her fun laughing at the rest of us. But everybody loved Artie. And everybody prayed for her. And one day she got the news that she had leukemia and that it was in a chronic state. And then time went on. Her little son, who was a pretty heavy little fella, Ronnie Thompson, Jeff's big brother, started to fall, and she reached over to grab him, and something snapped in her body, and she got sick, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have 7 days to live. We fasted. We prayed around the clock. Remember that? For Artie Thompson? 7 days later, she died.
But we were there in her dying hours. And I remember her saying, "Don't weep for me. Don't wait for me. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I'm right with God." Because you see, when she heard that she had leukemia, the doctor left the room and she was alone and she wept for hours. Went into the bathroom and wept her way back to Calvary. She was restored to salvation. And then dying, she could say, "Weep not for me." 39 years of age. "I'm so glad I'm saved." She says, maybe, this was her testimony, "Maybe God knows that if he heals me, I'll go out and backslide again and go to hell. And I don't want to go to hell." You talk about making a funeral easy. Hallelujah. I didn't have the funeral, but we were there. Those words came to me. "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Has God taken your little child from you, Brother Nichols? Hope Elizabeth, prematurely? What a visitation. What a funeral we had at Fuller Funeral. What a presence of God at Lakeview Cemetery when we laid that little body to rest. And what a hope the Nichols have today. And what a word they have from Jesus' lips. "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." God knows his business. God knows what he's doing. And if we're called to give our heads at age 30, if we're called to die at age 33 and a half, if we're called to die at age 60, or if we die, or if someone dies at birth, one of our own, hear the words of Jesus. Do you want a blessing tonight? Do you want a real, bona fide, genuine blessing from God? "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in whatever I allow or order for their lives." Amen. You know, preachers could boast and say, "I've been preaching 50 years. John the Baptist couldn't say that. John the Baptist could say, "I've been in the wilderness 30 years and I've preached for a few weeks or a few months." I wonder, when he heard the steps of the executioner coming down the dungeon corridor, clunk, 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 heard the keys rattling and inserted into the keyhole, and the rusty iron door squeaks open, and clang of steel. And, "Well, John, follow me." John doesn't know what happened. They lead him to the chopping block, the guillotine. John looks at that and he knows what's going to happen. I just wonder if those comforting, sustaining words of Jesus didn't come to his ears. Amen. "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Here I am, Lord.